Hello, and welcome to another episode of We're Done Here. This week's episode is super special because we have two guests. Oh my God, that's never happened before. I'm introducing Sam Santos and JC Mendoza.
What's up, y'all?
Yes. Yeah. So this week we're going to do things a little differently. Of course, we're going to tell you all about Sam and JC, but we're actually going to focus on what works well in relationships as opposed to what works poorly. So it's a twist. It's a plot twist. You know what I'm saying? but first, you guys tell us about yourselves. Like, Sam, JC, I know you because we was doing mics together. Mm-hmm. JC and I, during the pandemic, we was out in those parks, you know, singing those jokes.
Every day. To the kids, pigeons. Children, homeless people, whoever.
That's what we would do. Like, everybody's going to get these jokes. Mm-hmm. And then you started doing comedy, not recently, but like a little after.
I actually started in the pandemic, but then depression hit and then I stopped. And then I came back like a year ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself. Where you started, Sam. Where are you from?
Okay. I'm from the Lower East Side in Manhattan. I'm a New Yorker like you. we're like last of a dying breed. I'm from the Lower East Side. I'm Italian and Puerto Rican. I do real estate and I hate it. And I do comedy and I want that to be full time because I can't deal with it no more.
No, I understand.
I cannot.
What type of real estate?
I work under somebody who's super successful, so I'm not successful, but and he pays me pennies. But nice. We do real estate for residential. So like people are selling apartments and stuff like that.
Okay, so people with some money.
Yeah, people with money except for me. But
And JC, what about yourself?
I am from Long Island, Valley Stream, Long Island, which is like the first town in Long Island. We call it Valley Queens, but you gotta be specific because Meek is actually from Queens. Yeah. So if I would be like, I'm from Queens, she'd be like, what part? I'd be like, I'm from Long Island, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
I'm from Long Island. But I used to tell everybody that I was from the same part of Queens that Meek is actually from.
That's true.
I had grandparents, and my parents are from Astoria. So I used to go there a lot. But I'm from Long Island. And
you're making it very clear.
I like the confession.
You gotta be.
If you weren't from Queens, he would have definitely just gone from Astoria.
Yeah, you already know, man. This story. Steinway. That's where I be. You know. From Long Island. And I'm a comedian. Been doing comedy for a couple years now. I consider comedy my job, but it just doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
So my side hustle is I'm a teacher in Brooklyn. But yeah, that sucks. That's ass too. I'm trying to get like.
I like how the teaching's a side hustle.
Yeah, I love that.
It is, and the kids can feel it when I'm in the classroom.
That's how they be at my job too. They be like, it's a side hustle for this bitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, comedy is the full time passionate dream. Is. Okay, I love that. So, but you said you was going through some depression. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so obviously the pandemic hit. That was crazy. But during that time, my grandmother passed away and my dog passed away in the same day.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so that kind of hit me, and then that kind of just snowballed into a lot of different things. Like before the pandemic, my dad had cancer, my brother had cancer.
Oh,
they're fine, they're good, but I guess I never processed all of that stuff.
Wow.
So then during the pandemic, I had nothing but time.
Wow.
So then I started processing all that stuff, and it just made me feel, you know, like I just wanted to stay in my house. I think also the pandemic kind
of
messed me up a little bit too.
Of course.
Like then I didn't want to be around people, and I started just wanting to be alone and in my thoughts, and then that snowballed into me not wanting to be around anybody and depression and all that stuff. But therapy, baby.
I love that. No, this is emotional wellness comedy podcast.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Very quick, fast journey.
Yeah, I was gonna be like, and then
about
it started.
All the things. Yeah. Well, how did you get into comedy?
I kind of always wanted to do it, and then during the pandemic, I started doing videos online, and they started, started like taking off. And then Shadi Diaz, you know Shadi?
Yes.
She ended up following me and then hitting me up, and be like, you should do stand up.
And that's awesome.
I was like, okay. And then she's like, all right, yeah, Greg, I got you on a show for next week. And it was training day. And then I was like, I don't have anything. Jared Waters. Shout out Jared Waters, the comedy godfather. And I was like, I don't have anything written. And she's like, okay, well, you have a week.
Yeah,
so
write
some shit. And I was like, all right, I got you. And I did. So that's how it started.
Oh,
do you do any of those jokes anymore? My first show?
Absolutely not.
I still do some of like a few of my first jokes. I've grown and like I still do a few though.
It was a week to write, so I was I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just gonna say it. I looked back at that note the other day and I was like, boop, that like note on my phone. I was like, I cannot. I don't even know why.
Did people laugh?
They did, but I don't know if they were, you know. It was cold. They were trying to warm me up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Training Day is an outdoor show in Astoria Park, but I think they moved it inside.
It's inside during the winter, outside during the summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, we was in there out there in the tundra, February over the snow, back in like, that was 2020.
Late
2020, early 2021, pre-vaccine.
Yeah. Pre-vaccine outdoor comedy.
Yeah, I remember asking Jared Waters, because he hit me up. He's like, all right, you're on my show. And I'm like, okay, hey, do you have any like pointers? This is my first show. He said, yeah, wear gloves.
Yeah. I love that. And what about you, JC? How'd you get started?
It's a weird way. So long story short, I used to do like funny Snapchat videos when I was in college. I used to post them to my story, and I used to have a great time with it, but I never thought about doing anything in comedy. Yeah. One of my good friends was dating a girl who was the assistant to Cypher Sounds. Cypher Sounds at the time was helping co-produce an MTV2 show called Joking Off.
Okay.
Do you remember that show?
I think so, but I don't remember.
Show was absolutely terrible. It was awful shows, canceled now, thank God.
I was like, wait, maybe.
But they were casting for, it was like the Guy Code, Girl Code time. So it was Andrew Schultz was on it, Charlamagne Tha God was on it, like a bunch of people around that was on it. It was just trash. But Cypher Sounds, he was helping the casting process. So he told his assistant, like, yo, if you know any comics, like, send them my way. And then she told my friend, and my friend thought of me. But I was like, I've never done comedy. I just got these funny videos. So he was like, yo, send her whatever you got. She'll show it to Cypher. If they think you're funny, they'll bring you in for an audition. So I sent him a bunch of stupid videos. He's like, looks good to me. Let's bring him in for an audition. So I went, I auditioned at this MTV2 thing. And it was basically, they gave me like you're basically making memes on the spot. They show you a picture.
You
say some dumb shit.
Yeah.
So they gave me a packet. I had a night to prepare. I wrote a bunch of shit. I did really well.
That makes
audition was a lot of fun. So Sy fucked with me. He brought me back. I made it all the way to the final round of auditions.
Oh, wow.
And in this audition, I actually met Julio Diaz. He started we met each other through Sy. We were both auditioning for this show. I made it all the way to the final round at the Viacom studio, and I bombed terribly.
Oh, no.
Because I had no idea what I was doing. I bombed awfully. But so I was like, yo, I fuck with you. Come to my studio in Jersey. We'll write some jokes. Then for like 2 months, me, Julio Diaz, and the two other comics, Julio Rivera and Nick Trinidad, and then Evan Combs and Tone Vieira. We all wrote with Sife, and then from there, everybody started their career. Julio started right away, and now you see Julio blowing up, but I was like in and out because me at that time, I was very afraid of like rejection and nervous to get on stage. And I struggled with that for like 4 or 5 years before I was like, yo, fuck it. 2019, I'm gonna hit it heavy, and then pandemic. And then once the pandemic happened and I found the outdoor shows, that's when it's been better.
That's great. And that's what I met JC because,
those QED mics, man.
Yeah, those QED mics, being outside. It used to be Creek in the Cave, but that was anyway.
They're out of business, thank God, man.
Yeah, that was a shithole. That was a shithole. I would not go back there. Okay, that's awesome. I love your comedy journeys. Yeah. We're talking about like what works well in relationships. So audience members, JC and Sam are dating.
Yes.
So how long have you guys been dating?
We've been dating for a little bit over a year. Also, I just love how I like when Sam and I get to do podcasts together because I feel like comedians, we have such a horrible view on what works like in relationships that when people see Sam and I being able to have like a relationship, they're like, how the fuck did you do that?
If we break up, don't watch this video. Anything we say didn't work.
But right now, we are big. We're doing very well right now.
That's good. Because I know both of you. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing the Instagram stories. I was like, oh, this is so cute. Curly hair people. How did you guys meet? I mean, of course you met through comedy, but like what happened? Like, what was that? You know.
You can tell it.
I mean, shit, you gonna let me talk? I'll take the time. No. So in 2021, we met at Glorella's birthday. She has the 31 years of glory.
That's
the big party at the stand. And that was like the first time that both of us had gone to the stand, like post pandemic. So shout out to Glorelli. She has a huge birthday party every year, and we met there. But at the time, I was with somebody, and she was just getting out.
Who was you with? Sorry.
Me? No. I was with.
It don't matter.
No, I wasn't. Period. No. I was in another relationship, and you were just getting out of one?
No, I was good, but I was depressed.
Getting out of depression. We were both dealing with stuff, right? But I was there. It was a comedy event, so my ex then, like, she was not a comedian, so she wasn't around for this stuff.
So, yeah, she wasn't down with us.
We met at that party, and we met with Lisa and Kate Robards And I think that might have been it.
That was the only people in the
So okay. We all met, we hung out, and then Lisa was driving.
Shout out to Lisa Lennis.
She was driving back to Astoria, and that's where we both were living at the time. So I was getting a ride with her, and then Lisa also knew Sam, so she was dropping Sam off in the Lower East Side. So we were both in the car, and then we all, you know, we're all kicking it, talking shit. We ended up bonding over Hamilton.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the play?
Yeah.
Wait, what was it about Hamilton?
He just said he liked it, and it's so rare to find a guy that likes musicals.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, I know every word to the
musical.
Yeah,
we started rapping
it
a
little bit. You Lynn?
No. Yeah.
And I was like a musical theater like nerd when I was younger, so he said that and I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, I'm into him.
And okay. Then we
Hamilton.
And we was all networking, so we like exchanged Instagram and stuff, but it was never anything like over the line creepy like that or like trying to make a move.
I definitely thought he was hot.
Okay.
I didn't know you were in a relationship or anything. I was just like, oh, this guy is hot. And he was dancing at the party too. And I was like, okay, he got rhythm.
Oh, yeah, JC could dance.
A little bit. I could electric slide. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, he's cute.
There was electric sliding?
A little bit. I don't know if the party had it, but I definitely shoehorned my way into it. I was like, somebody's got to see this slide. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we met in that at that party, and then we were like Instagram friends from then on.
Just, well, you was creeping on her IG.
Not even. Not until after.
Single,
yeah,
single.
Not until my relationship
wait, so
ended.
How long did it take you to be single?
So I, my last relationship ended in September of 21.
Okay.
September 21, and then we were cordial, but then like. I didn't jump in her DMs until I want to say November.
Got you.
Where I was like, yo, I'm trying to get back. Like, I was going through my breakup. I was sad and stuff. And then I'm like,
I remember you being sad.
For a little bit.
Everybody does.
For a little bit.
Something about you, I'm sad.
But
yeah.
I will say. I took my time and I was sad. Like,
okay,
I was in my emotions.
Yeah,
I didn't try to escape it. I went through what I was going through.
Okay.
And then I felt like around late November, early December, I was like, all right, I feel better about what happened. I want to convince myself I deserve nice things.
Nice, yeah.
I want to try to, you know, approach people that I think are interesting. And then Sam was like the first person that I, like, not first person that I DM, but like.
Yeah, who was the second?
Motherfucker. I was out here just slitting. I'm just kidding. Right? But no, so it was just something, and I hadn't seen her for a while. I was like, yo, where you been at? Like, how you been? And she's like, oh, you know, I just been chilling. And then I don't think I saw you until Bodega Kids.
Yeah, in December. Yeah,
another show
okay,
in, like, late
so
December.
Okay, so you stood in the DMs, you was talking.
We were
how
talking,
was you feeling?
And then I was definitely into it.
You was like, oh, he's cute.
Yeah, well, I was like, he's cute. And then
did you throw any flirtation?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
What'd you say?
We were
what'd
talking about Insecure or something, and we were talking about, like, oh, if Issa gets back with Lawrence, isn't that? And I was like, if Issa gets back with Lawrence, you gotta take me out for a drink.
Oh, hey.
And then Bodega Kids happened, and I was like, oh, you're supposed to buy me a drink. And he was like, oh, I'll take you out on Friday. And I was like, I think I have a date.
Wait, after Bodega Kids?
Yeah, so
yeah, after, like, after we were drinking.
Bodega Kids is a show, you guys, here in New York City.
Shout out to Lisa and Matt.
And it was the first one at the Stand, and we were at the Stand. I went to, like, show support. And then I was...
Wait, was I at that show?
You might have been.
I've been supporting y'all show.
Yeah. You probably were there. I was, like, super nervous to be out, and I knew I wanted to flirt with him, but I was, you know, it was in my bag. I was a little nervous.
Oh, my God,
so I was drinking a little bit, so then I had the courage to be like, you know, buy me a drink or whatever. And then, he was like, I'll take you out on Friday. So then...
Oh,
we went on our first date on December 10th. And then we've been.
Wait, where'd you guys go on the date?
We went. I can't even remember
called?
The name of the
and
bar.
And it had nothing to do with comedy?
No, not even.
It was nothing about comedy.
And he, like, picked a place, like, sneak. He was like, oh, I'll pick a place close to your apartment. Because
to the Lower East Side, I didn't want you to have a long commute.
He was trying to come over.
Well, Lower East Side is a populated
area.
But yeah, I know what that was about.
Nah!
And it worked. But.
But yeah, I can't remember the name of the place, but we went there. In December 10th, we had a couple drinks, had a good time, and then, you know, since then we've been.
It wasn't like serious in the beginning. He had a lot of healing to do, so it wasn't.
Oh,
like,
he was still. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So y'all
was just fucking. It sounds
absolutely.
So when did it become official?
We became official 1 year later.
Yeah,
at the
one
same,
year
we,
later.
I took her back to the same spot.
How long y'all fucking?
We was We was fucking for a while.
We was
fucking for a while.
Trying to clean it up.
But like it got more serious, obviously, as time progressed.
Got it. That makes sense.
And then we had a little, like, we had a couple weeks where she was like, hey, I don't, like, what are we doing? And I was I can't give any more than I'm giving.
Yeah.
Then we cut it off for like a week.
For like a week. And then this man was hitting me up every day.
Oh, that's so annoying.
I'm annoying.
I can't give nothing but
I'm so sorry. The pussy was fire. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Fucking sue me. It was great. So when I came back, it was kind of.
That's the podcast.
When I came back, it was kind of. It had to be more of, like, I had to come back a little bit more serious or recognize what it was.
Okay, that makes sense.
So then, as time. So then, I think.
You understand that.
I feel like for me, I want to say what? April, May? I should have let you answer first.
No, I would say April, May for sure. Definitely started, got a little
April,
more.
April, May of 2022?
Of 2022. Yes. It got like a little more where we were like talking every day and like seeing each other way more. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, in between that, like in between time, the confused time, did you guys get jealous at any point? Was anybody like, you know what I mean? Like when you guys
I didn't know anything that he was doing and I don't
think
so.
I didn't know anything. I felt like there was mutual respect.
I like that. Everyone's keeping it like really, because in the comedy scene, you know, you got to just...
Yeah, I think we also, like, when we, on our first date, like, I was like, I don't want this to be messy. Yeah. Like, because we knew what we were trying to do in comedy and stuff. So I think I felt comfortable, and I think he felt comfortable. Like, I would never have done anything within comedy.
Yeah,
him too. Like, we were pretty open about
and
that.
And I do think in that time, we actually did become, like, I didn't realize it at the time, because I'm a guy and I'm an idiot, but we actually became, like, really good friends while we were having sex. Because I mean, the sex was great, and it kept us, like, you know, connected, but we would also talk about comedy. We go out, we hang at shows together. Like, so she became, like, my go-to person in general. That I also had sex with, which was great for me. You know what I'm saying? But like,
you
live
in the dream.
It was amazing.
I was in fucking agony.
I know. I feel bad now.
Did you tell your friends?
Absolutely. My friends knew. Yeah.
What they say about him?
they were like, they knew what he was going through. So my friends, they were kind of level-headed. They were like, just give him time. He'll come around. My friends were trying to like big up me. They're like, there's no way he's going to let you pass him by. Which you didn't.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, that's cute. That's a cute story.
It was a lot, but Sam is like her confidence in that just be like, all right, I'll give you a second, but motherfucker, not a second more.
I really
appreciated that, because that's the kind I needed that.
You need that push. Oh, I love that. That's really great. So, all right. So you was trying to do whatever you trying to do, and how did you get out of your depression or whatever to be present in the relationship?
So I was I'm in therapy and stuff. We were actually just talking about this. We were on vacation, and I was telling him like I felt like through therapy, I was talking about stuff I hadn't talked about, like from past relationships, and I felt like I was dealing with them like years later. Mm, so I was in that, and I had to get through it through therapy, like talking through it and figuring out like why I was making these choices and stuff. And then I just like. Came out, I don't know, it just like slowly started coming out of it. And I honestly, comedy, like I finally was just like, I'm sick of, because I have such bad anxiety and I also really don't like being center of attention, which is crazy to be a
comedian.
It makes no sense, but like as soon as I get off stage, I'm like, I don't want anybody to talk to me. Like,
no, that's
like,
how
that
I be kinda, too, I'll be like.
Yeah, like I don't mind comics, but like when the audience comes, I get nervous.
I'm
and
just
stuff.
Like, I'm
hanging. Thank you, I don't know what to say, I'm so weird. So I think it was like me just kind of stepping into it and being like, I'm over like being shy and letting that control my life. That really helped me kind of just like live in my truth and who I really am. It felt great. And it was like that helped me get over a lot of other things. And obviously I was sad about my grandma passing, my dog passing, but that, you know, it helped.
No, of
time,
course.
Time does heal.
Time heals grief and all that.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
that. So like, you guys seem to be having a good relationship. We'll get into that a little later. But what I want to do now is talk about maybe some past relationships that like, I mean, you could compare it to this one or not, but like, do you want to talk about some past relationships where it was a fail? Like, what do you guys think?
I love to do that. You want me to talk shit about my exes? Absolutely.
On the podcast. Names. No,
sugar. Don't tell me, Mika. No. I've had, I think, more of a crazy past than you have.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was engaged before.
Oh, who's your engaged to?
A Dominican.
My first mistake. Dominican. No shade to Dominicans, you know, that love this podcast.
No shade to any women that's a Dominican or gay man that's a Dominican, but all the straight men, you can go to hell.
There's that.
I was engaged with this dude for 5 years.
5 years?
5 years. Engaged? We were engaged.
That's so tired.
And then he cheated on me on Craigslist.
No.
Absolutely.
Wait, what year was this? Craigslist?
I know, right? It's crazy.
What the fuck?
2015.
That's way too late to be
on Craigslist. Was irrelevant
then.
And
the craziest part is we had a friend that her man cheated on her on Craigslist, and him and I used to talk about it. He'd be like, yo, that's disgusting.
Wait, why Craigslist?
I don't know. And then his way of being like, he's like, come on, it's just Craigslist. Like, he was trying, and I was like,
no,
bitch, that's worse.
It's just Craigslist?
Yeah, and I was like.
At least Tinder or something.
Yeah, something. Like, I don't know if that was even around.
That's funny. Y'all was talking
2015,
shit.
Tinder was outside.
Was it?
Y'all was
remember.
Talking shit about the guy, about his friend who used Craigslist, and the whole time he was like, this motherfucker spit.
Yeah.
Put that in my pocket.
Yeah, literally. I think that was what did it.
Oh,
but,
my God.
So he, whatever, that happened. And then I was, you know, I met him because he was my brother's best friend.
Got Got it.
So that was a
mess. So your brother's toxic. No, I'm just joking. 100%.
Not anymore, but he was. But yeah, so I met him through my brother. And so for me, my brother was not a fan of it in the beginning. So I stood with him. Like after he cheated and stuff, I was like, oh, he did exactly what my brother thought he was going to do.
Oh, your brother warned you.
Yeah, my brother was like, he's my friend, but he's a dog. Like, and you're not ready for this guy. Like, you're not built for this. And I was like, please.
You ain't for these streets.
Yeah, okay, and I was like, yes, I am. And I wasn't.
Okay, I see. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
So then I found out that he did that. And then I was like, I'm going to stay. Because I'm going to try to, you know. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I didn't tell anybody. So that was like my thing that I had to get through with therapy is I'm a very private person. So even my best friend, like my ride or die, didn't even tell him.
Wow. That's crazy.
So I just like lived with it. It was just only me and my ex knew about that he did this. Like, I'm not going to say anything. So I went through it. That happened. I found out in June or July. And I couldn't. It was like every day I was growing more angry and more angry.
Of course, yeah.
And then around like December, Christmas time, I was like, I gotta leave this guy. And then I just like, I had like a full breakdown. We were in the car, he was driving, and we were, I remember we were like by Central Park driving, and I was like, pull over. And he was like, what's going on? And then I was like, I can't be with you. Like, this is over. And he was like, are you kidding me? Like, and then made me feel bad about it, but whatever. Gaslighting me.
Yeah.
And then I started opening up, then I started telling my friends, and then I told my mom, and then I was embarrassed to tell my parents. They were so excited about me getting married.
Mm.
So I had to do that. It was a super crazy time in my life. So that all happened, and it was like, I took a lot of the heat. Like, I was like, I'd rather everyone think it was my choice.
You didn't mention it.
I never told anybody. Well,
girl, you wild. I'm like, you're so crazy.
He hit me.
Yeah, I thought it would be like a reflection of me. Girl, so I thought people were going to be like, oh, you must have been a bad girlfriend. I don't know.
No,
I was in such a weird
Catholic
headspace.
Guilt. I don't know if you're Catholic.
I went to Catholic school my whole life. So it's giving. It is. It was Catholic guilt. And I was just like, I don't want anybody to think of me any differently. So I took the blame for years. And it wasn't until 2020.
Wow.
New Year's Eve going into 2020. I was like, I cannot carry this into another decade. And I was already in another relationship, and I was like, I'm gonna tell my brother. My brother had never told.
About you didn't tell your brother about the Craigslist?
Nah.
But he knew he was a 22.
He did, and when I told him, he was like, I'm pissed. And he's like, I'm pissed that you took, like, the heat. Because everybody would be like, Samantha's a man-eater. Like, and yeah, that was like my, everybody thought, because I would, any relationship I was in, I would always be the one that broke up, but not, because I knew what I deserved.
Yeah.
But all my family would be like, yeah, exactly. All my family would be like, Samantha's a man-eater. She, you know, she's always on from one guy. She breaks his heart and she's on to the next or whatever. So I didn't want to have that stigma anymore. And I was like, yeah, this is actually what happened. So I went through all of that and it was absolutely insane. But it taught me a lot about like being honest with myself, because I wasn't being honest with other people because I wasn't being honest with myself.
Wow. So in terms of that's a compelling story. Did you take that lesson? Like, what lessons from that relationship do you take into this current relationship?
I'm way more open about stuff. So like if we're having, like even like you said, did my friends know about him? Like I would have normally not told anybody because I'd never want to look like a clown.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm living my life. I'm following my heart. I'm doing what feels right to me. And I would tell my friends, and it's helped me so much. Like even when we've had little arguments and stuff, I'm like, I've never talked to people about any problems I'm having. I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, so secretive. Yeah.
So then I like now it feels good because it's like, you know, we could be going through something, but it, like sometimes it's nice to hear someone else's point of view. So like, I mean, I don't go ahead and tell everybody, but like my best friend David, like we had an argument about some shit that was going on like in the new year, and I like told him about it, and he was like, I get it. And he was like, but you need to relax, you know?
Yeah,
and it was like,
Shout out to David.
Son.
Yeah, yeah, relax. He's always on my side. But yeah, like it's good. So I feel like now I do that and I feel like I have more like clarity in my life.
Got it.
Because I'm not trying to deal with everything on my own.
Mm. Got it. Okay, that's so interesting. And JC, you never had no bad relationship?
I was coming out, not like that. Like that was crazy.
No, that's crazy. Yeah.
But the relationship that I was coming out of was like my first one. So
okay,
like, for me, it was a big deal. And,
wait, how long were you going out with that girl?
We were together officially for like a year and a half, but we dated for like a year before that. So for like two years and change, pretty much.
Yeah.
And we dated, and when we broke up, it was like, you know, I was sad. It was my first time ever going through real heartbreak. I had a guy heartbreak like when I was like fucking 12. It's like, oh man, I'll never trust bitches again. When I was like 12 years old. But this is like the first time
now
really
you were
like
12.
Yeah, yeah, 7th grade.
I'm gonna
use this to never commit ever. And I was sliding by that for a while until I turned 25. I was like, I can't use this anymore.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, but I used it though. But it's just that relationship ended. And from it, I learned a lot about what I feel like I need from a partner.
Got it.
And what I think when I was in the relationship that I was in, I accepted everything. Got right? It. Because I'm like, oh, this is who this person is. Mm-hmm. And my job is to help them deal with their problems.
Yeah.
Right? And all their problems. And it's her job to deal with all of mine. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is there are some things that are not, you can't fix for somebody mm-hmm. else. Like the same way she was working to fix some things about me, I was really working to fix some things about her. And we could probably tell that there was a lot of big philosophical differences between the way that we saw things and the way that we handled our problems.
Right.
And I was just being like, oh, this is just my job to help her figure this out. Like, I learned what I don't think I can do sustainably going forward.
Got it.
And it was able, and through that, I was able to see things in Sam that it took me a while to accept because mm-hmm. I was in a bad place. But I recognized quick, like, oh, that's a green flag. Like, that's something that I'm not used to. That is so much better for me. The big thing was the way that we communicate, I feel like, is so much healthier. And I'm able to appreciate it because I've been in a situation where the way we communicated wasn't as positive.
Right?
Like, I feel like I do a great job in being thoughtful when I express myself.
Okay.
Right? So if I have a problem with something, I feel like I take a lot of time to give it to you in a way where you don't feel attacked by it. And Sam does that in real time, which is very important for me because I'm sensitive.
Yeah.
Right?
Wait, what sign are you?
I'm a Leo.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
You got that Leo hair.
I don't know what it means, but yeah, I was born at the end of July, so I'm sad sometimes. But but yeah, so like, I would be very thoughtful. And whenever she would express something that she didn't like, I took my time and I was like, oh, I even though I didn't intend for it to be that way, I can understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. And I accept my part in making you feel negatively, and I'll try to be more thoughtful going forward. Right, but whenever I expressed I had a problem with something, it was very much, how the fuck could you take it like that? Like, obviously that's not what I meant. You're just making a big deal out of nothing. And that, like, that drives me insane. Because it's like, it's not gaslighting, but it's like, you're not validating my feelings at all.
Yeah.
Like, for your first instinct to be like, no, you're wrong and you're making a big deal about it, that makes me feel crazy.
No, that makes sense.
And
yeah.
In my last relationship, it was a lot more of that up front. Like, eventually we might get to a good place emotionally, but it'd take a lot of hard labor before she wanted to see where I was coming from. And I feel like that was such a big deal for me, but I was willing to accept it because I'm like, oh, this is what a relationship is. This is the work part. Mm-mm. And realistically, that's just that's just a difference of two people who are not the same, who can't work out problems. Like, she needs something different to help her work her things out, or something that's more suitable to her. And with Sam, like, I feel like she's even better than I am. She's way more emotionally intelligent. So she's very responsible when she expresses things. And if ever she does something to upset me unintentionally, which is rare, she's always quick to be like, oh, my bad. I didn't mean to do that to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand where you're coming from. And I feel like that is the biggest difference and thing I'm able to appreciate getting out of that relationship and being in this one, is that I feel so much more validated by Sam. And I'm able to appreciate and really, like, enjoy how emotionally intelligent she is. And I didn't realize that was such a big thing for me.
That's good. That's great. That is very important. Emotional intelligence is like so big. A lot of men are emotionally dumb. So yeah.
He honestly the only man I've ever been with that has any type of emotional, like, intelligence.
These dudes is dumb. So
very dumb.
To be fair, thank you. I appreciate it. It comes at a cost. I am broke. You know what I'm saying? I'm not.
Right.
I'm not perfect. In the years it took me to become emotionally mature, I was not working. You know what I'm saying? It was a full time job. So that's that. So shout out to Sam on that part too, because that's probably not easy to deal with.
Well, I hope y'all both make. Well, y'all gonna be big stars.
Yeah, we gonna get it.
y'all be okay. Y'all be okay. Okay, cool. So I just want to take a step back for a second because you guys are talking about reflecting on your relationship, reflecting on some past relationships. I want to get into your family relationships. Like, I want to talk about your mom and dad, and like, I don't know, what have you learned any lessons from that, or how it, has it scarred you in any way? Like, I feel like our parents kind of...
How much time we got?
we can do a little snippet of it, but basically, like, I feel like my parents' relationship divorce definitely impacted me and how I navigate myself in romantic relationships. Mm. So I want to hear about your guys.
So my parents were together. I don't know what they are now, but they have decided that they are going to separate during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
But
they're
still
old. Are they?
Old.
My dad is up, boo.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've been saying. I'm like, my dad's 70. My mom's like 68.
Nah.
Exactly.
Y'all go together
yeah,
still.
Yeah, but like, they shouldn't. My one thing about my parents is, I don't know how they even had me. But I've never seen my parents be happy ever. Like,
okay,
I don't have any memories of, like, happiness. So for me, I think I accepted a lot of, like, craziness and toxic stuff in relationships because that's the only thing I knew. And I thought it... So for me, like, I remember one time somebody telling me, like, isn't it crazy? Like, we were watching, like, a reality show and there was a couple that was like, fuck you, no, fuck you. And I was like, you know, sitting through it like normal. And they're like, that's crazy to talk to your partner like that. I'm like, is it?
Oh.
No, and I know that sounds crazy, but, like, that didn't... Like, no, calling names and stuff was super normal.
Like, normal, yeah.
And that's something I had to literally... Because that would be my first go-to. Like, if I... Like, in my early relationships and stuff, like, if I didn't like what she was saying, I was like... Fuck you, which is a crazy thing to just say.
No, that's true. No, that is true. If you really think, yeah, that's true. If you really think about, yeah,
it's a wild. True. It's wild
to like you're supposed to love. To,
yeah, and like for that to be the first thing
the first
that you're
thing
doing.
You say, yeah, it's true.
But I didn't know any different. It's the same way that I had to learn that when you see your partner, you say hello and you give them a kiss. That's something I never thought. I remember my friend being like, "You don't do that," and I was like, "Nah, not really. I'm just like, hey."
Yeah.
So it's like I never really saw. I never saw long-term, like, love or anything like that. So for me, for a really long time in my life, I was, like, on a big, like, I don't want kids kick because I just didn't want to be tied to somebody forever because I was, like, it's never going to work. And I just didn't think that love was sustainable long-term. Like, I'd be like, okay, you have, like, these happy moments, and then that's it. And then you know, so I was very negative when it came to, like, love and relationships and stuff, and obviously through therapy and stuff, talking through it, you know, I realized that's not.
Shout out to your therapist.
My therapist.
Yes. Shout out to
she's literally the best. She actually came to a show. You
she
saw
came,
her.
She came.
Yeah, yeah.
Saw her at
Caroline's. She came to Caroline's. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
She was hype for me.
Wait, what nationality is she? That's
she's a black woman.
Oh, that's
come on, dog.
She got it together. Okay. Yeah, thank you. What about your brothers and sisters? You have brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers. One brother's from my dad's first marriage.
Okay.
And then a brother from the same mom. And they. My oldest brother has obviously his issues with, like, because my dad cheated on his mom, so he has his own issues there.
Oh, I got that. We have that in our family,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And then my brother that's like, my full brother, he has had the same issues as me. Like, he loves his girl, you know, like, and they have two kids together, but that man will not put a ring on her finger.
Oh, that be happening
but
sometimes.
But she be fine about it, you know, and in no shade, that whatever their life is, but, you know, it's just annoying, because I'm like, bro, if you don't, had kids with this woman.
I feel like black and brown people be doing that. They be together for 30 years.
Absolutely.
And, then, no,
and they've been together for, like, 12 years at this point. I'm like, if you don't make that woman an honest woman, I'm...
You gonna propose next year.
Yeah. He better, yeah.
That's right.
But, yeah, so he for a long time went through the same thing. And they have two kids now, but she wanted kids for the longest time, and he was like, absolutely not. And then it wasn't until later, like in his mid-30s, that he was like, all right, I think I need to, like, she's the best. I love her.
Yeah.
And he started being like, I'm never going to find a woman like this. Like, she puts up with all his stuff. And my brother's not an easy guy. So I remember we were in the car together, and he's like, I think I'm going to have a baby. I was like, I think you should, bro. Like, what are we talking about? And now they do, and he's the best dad, and he's really stepped up as a partner. But I think he had to go through all of that to...
Nah, not nice, but I guess nice.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean, they're super happy. She's not pressing for a ring or anything like that.
But
yeah,
nice,
yeah.
Well, happy it worked out on that end.
Yeah.
And what about you, JC?
Yeah, I feel like similar to you, my parents are divorced, right? Mm-hmm. And they got divorced when I was super young. And it just classic divorce kid, like, angst, but like, oh, I'm scared of commitment because I don't want it to not work. And then, you know, I would see the way that my dad and my mom were great. They're going to watch this podcast. My dad for sure.
Oh, your dad, 100%.
Really? So, dad, this was, if when you see this, send me a 100 emoji so I know that you watch this. Because he will actually watch the whole thing and he will come back with
notes. He's watched every podcast.
Shout
yeah.
out to my dad. So, I'm going to try to be very, like, nice to both of my parents.
Okay.
But they got divorced. They weren't right for each other. Mm-hmm. They never really, they were not supposed to be together. But, you know, they grew up in a different time. They met each other young and they have kids. I'm glad to be here. But, yeah, they got divorced when I was young and they just were not good partners for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They both have since moved on 20 plus years later. They have both in very healthy relationships. But seeing them growing up made me scared to be in a relationship because I didn't want to feel like I didn't want anybody to feel the way I felt about my parents separating, so I didn't want to have that. So I used that as an excuse to not commit.
Got
you know,
it.
A lot of my life was making excuses not to commit.
No, I understand
and,
that.
And
yeah.
divorce was a big part of that. And then, you know, as I got older, I learned more about their marriage and I saw the kind of partner that my dad was and the kind of partner that my mom was. And there's things about my mom that I love that make her the perfect mother and make her a great partner, but there's things that I don't like. And then there's a lot of things about my dad, who's one of my best friends, that I hate. You know what I'm saying? And I was trying so hard not to recreate that mistake that in my first relationship, I felt like I was in a relationship like they had. Like I was running so hard I was trying so hard to run from something that I ran right towards.
Oh, no, that'd be happening.
And I looking back at my first relationship, there's a lot of that. And I bet you my ex would say the same thing because about her parents and our relationship. So we were both trying very hard to run from something toxic that we grew up in, and we ended up running right towards it. And it wasn't until after that where I was able to, you know, because I was also nervous because, you know, I'm, you know, Latino family. Like, my dad cheated. His dad cheated. I was scared
my dad cheated.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was scared that it was in my blood, honestly. I was like, I felt like it was pre-. I'm like, I don't want to cheat on nobody. I know my mom didn't like it.
I can't control myself.
I know. But that's as crazy as it sounds. Yeah, yo, I was like, damn, but the bitches, they're called. Like, I thought it was going to be some crazy stuff like that. But I was always scared to be in a relationship. And it wasn't until, like, kind of recently where I realized, oh, I'm writing my own story. I'm
in control. Yeah, like, you in control of your destiny.
My parents, they set the example that they set. You know, it took me a while to realize that they were just people.
Yeah.
You know, when they met. Okay, and I had to forgive them as people. Like, I've seen a bunch of people not work out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and my dad and my mom are no different. You know, they just didn't work out. And, you know, it caused us trauma. But your parents, even if they stay together and they're happy, they're going to give you trauma one way or the other. No matter what they do, it's a tough job. You know, because her parents stayed together and she has her own set of issues.
No, that's true.
So I feel like I got a front row view of what not to do and look for in a lifelong commitment. And they'll be the first to tell you that. They'll be happy that we were able to take what not to look at, you know? Like, or red flags earlier. So, like, we don't have to have 3 kids before we realize that this isn't going to work.
No, that would be horrible. Thank God millennials aren't having kids.
Right?
But my older sister, actually, she just had her first kid. Like,
oh, nice.
Last week.
You have two sisters, right?
I got an older sister and a younger sister. My older sister just had her first baby. What's up, little KJ? Aww. And like, I feel like as a sibling group, we're all kind of getting to a point where we are accepting the way that our parents' relationship was and seeking healthier habits for ourselves.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
That's very exciting.
That's good. That's really good. That's really healthy. I love that. I love the story of you guys. So, all right, you told us about your past and all that. Can you tell us, like, what works in your relationship? What are the things that you want to give? What are the tips, I guess? Let me rephrase this. Tips you want to give our audience members of, like for a healthy relationship? Or, like, I don't know, how do you guys make up after you fight? Like, give people some advice. Tell them what to do.
I love giving advice because it's so funny. Yeah, this goes left. Nah, it's going to be very funny.
I
mean, they always say comedians shouldn't date. Like,
they do say that. Everybody says that.
Yeah, but I feel like comedians, like, this is the only field where they make it a thing. Like, they don't ever say that to doctors.
No, that's true. They always say it. I guess, because so many comedians, like, break up again. But they're just comedians that are married, too.
Yeah, exactly.
For a very long time. So you just never know. I don't know.
I don't like to give advice, but I do like to, I can tell you what works for us.
Yeah, what works for you? Yeah, but
For us, it's been a beautiful thing to have such a big thing like comedy in common.
No,
because
that makes sense.
You know, comedians, we go on for days. Like, I know I can talk a fucking storm. You know, for you, probably, we got a podcast. We're talking about this for like an hour. We're going to be talking for an hour. So I get like obsessive when I think about comedy. And it's really, because I've been in a relationship where the other person wasn't a comedian. And I'm now in a relationship where the person is. And I feel so much more accepted because she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that makes
like it's
sense.
Not just me venting about this bitch at work.
She
knows all the bitches at work.
Yeah.
So it's very like when we're talking shit, we're very specific, and it's like it's very validated because when I'm frustrated with something that's hard to articulate to somebody who's not in comedy, why is this person getting booked more than me?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been bopping on the ground. Why are they working? And it's like she gets it, and it's just very nice to be emotionally validated, and I feel like we're able to do that for each other as partners, but also as comics, which just makes our bond so much stronger because it's such a big part of our life.
No, it makes sense.
And I feel like that, and also I think what became my favorite part of our relationship is like after shows are done, after everything, like we'll walk home. We'll walk or we'll just find ways to spend extra time together outside of being at a show.
Got it.
That like gives us time to unwind and decompress and like just enjoy each other's company, which is what it became. And that I feel like finding those moments to like kind of do nothing and really just exist with each other.
In the summer we get like 40s of like White Claws.
Yeah, just, like, we take like a tall boy White Claw and walk like 45 minutes home.
They sell 40s of White Claws.
Yeah, just the big tall boy.
White Claw.
And I feel like that has brought, like, that has become like the bedrock of our relationship. Just not kind of like taking time to do nothing with each other.
Yeah, I got it.
Spending, so like even our nothing time is we're still building a relationship. So that's I think has been great for us.
Yeah.
Nice. That's
I would say for me, like as a woman, like we said, like men are trash usually. And like I think being able to, because for me, I spent so much of my life like trying to not speak about what was bothering me because I didn't want to come off like I was nagging or whatever. Yeah. And I think having an open dialogue has made me feel so comfortable. Like being able to just be like, hey, you know, I don't really like, I'm not feeling so great about something that you did. And having somebody like hear me, validate me, and just having that open space to talk. I also think like the honesty within our relationship, like we talk about everything and like we share, I think it was something we talked about super early on, but because like in past relationships for me, like I would be in a room with a bunch, like maybe a woman that he slept with, and I would be the only one in that room that didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it would make me feel like later on I would find out and be like, I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Where like we have tough conversations. So like we'll be somewhere and it's like he'll be like, I just want to warn you, walking into this is what it is, and I feel better. I feel like, you know, we just it's just like an open, I just don't feel like there's anything off the table like that we're scared to talk about. And I also think the fact that I feel like we are best friends above anything, and that is something that I cannot explain, is so important. Like I've been with people where it's like I like you, but I don't, not too much. Like, I'm like, I don't really like you like that. But with him, I'm just like, I said to him, I hope you always like me.
Yeah.
You know, like, loving you is one thing, but, like, I really like him. I think he's dope. And, like, I'm excited for other people to get to know him, like, my friends and stuff. So I feel like having a foundation of being friends has been really important to me.
And this is the first, like, for me, this is the first time to where I've been with somebody where I, because I used to hear people say that, like, at weddings or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you're my best friend.
And I'm like, that's bullshit. All right, I got mad homies. We be chilling all the time.
He said that one time.
I really did, and Glory said that.
She was like, all successful relationships, everyone says, like, you have to have a best friend. And he was there. That was early on. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I have enough guy friends. I don't need a best friend.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
But, and then it snuck up on me. I was like, yo, you've become my best friend. Like, I go there for everything, and it's really nice. And I feel like another thing, emotional honesty, the way that she spoke about being honest, I feel like we are both equally willing to take accountability of things that we didn't intend to be harmful, but can recognize that it affected the other person.
No, that
negatively.
Makes sense. Yeah, that's important. Because
that's a big thing. Yeah. And I feel always ready and not excited, because I don't want to make you feel sad, but I think it's always more important to hear what she's saying before getting defensive. And whenever we do fight, it's usually because my first reaction is to get defensive instead of to accept. Like, the last argument we had is because she was expressing how she felt about something that I was doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a problem with it.
Yeah.
So I jumped to defending my action instead of hearing where she came from.
Yeah.
And it took us kind of like butting heads a little bit for her to be like, to her credit, even when we were both a little bit emotionally high, like, her line of logic is consistent throughout. And no matter how angry or upset or sad I am, I will never act like, oh, that doesn't matter. No, I was like, that's facts. I'm sorry that it took you getting upset for
you.
Yo,
don't
see
do that.
It.
I'll be in the middle, like, you did it. And he's like, that's right. You're right.
I'll be like, bitch. I was like, that's all.
I'm not used to that.
That's all. I was like, that's 100% right.
That's a good point.
No, and I'm sorry that it took you getting so mad to communicate it in a way that, not to communicate, but for me to get it.
To understand, yeah.
But that, I think, her being willing to do that for me and me being willing to do that for her, is it saves days.
Yeah.
Days of arguments.
No, that's great. What I'm hearing with you guys, it's like you guys both assume you're coming from a good place.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's really, really important, just to assume there's no malintent. Mm-hmm. Communication is clear. You're in therapy.
She's pushing me to like go to my first time as an adult.
Yeah, you
so I found
that.
Somebody that I liked, but like they were
like
250.
Wait, what
nationality is she? No, it was no. I'm looking for dudes, men.
Okay, man.
Any healthy men out there, hit me up, son. I'm looking for dudes.
Okay,
bro.
I mean, you might find better luck with a woman. Okay, fine. Get you a man.
I want to try to find. I don't know, I'm sure you'll be fine.
I've been watching you anyway. Not relevant. But that therapist. No, anyway.
But I'm still looking. So if you're still watching this podcast and you have a male therapist who's a person of color that you trust, please tell me them, because that's what I'm looking for.
No, most of that's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your story. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the story. So it's funny because like you guys have such a lifting tale to tell about your relationship and gave really helpful advice. But this podcast is called We're Done Here. So we always kind of end with something. We're usually done with all the toxicity. Mm. So I guess in your case, you're done with like Dominican niggas on Craigslist.
Absolutely.
It's hard to give it up, but I think she's done now. I think she's done.
So I'm done with that.
Yes.
And then JC, you're done with, I don't know, I guess whoever, I don't know. It seems like you're done with something, but I can't synthesize it. But basically not being in toxic situations where people aren't hearing you.
Yes.
And, you know, you're not communicating
done
effectively.
With emotional irresponsibility.
Yes. Emotional irresponsibility. Is that a thing?
It is now, son. It is now. We're done here, but we just started
Let's call it that. Yeah, so we could be done away from that. But then we talk about something we're not done with, and it's usually something stupid, like pop culture. So I usually kick it off because people don't understand what the hell I'm talking about. So what I'm not done with, so last week I talked about watching you, and this week I'm going to talk about watching you again. Hear me out. So I know I'm mad late because you know this shit started 4 years ago.
Yeah.
With that nigga from Gossip Girl, Dan Humphries. I don't know his real name. I said this before. But all right.
Joe. I don't know his real name.
No, not in the show. The actor.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Okay, anyway, no.
That's Joe to me.
Joe, what, Goldberg?
Goldberg, I think.
Joe Goldberg, Dan Humphries, whatever. We outside. We know him. But essentially, I would say, I don't know about everybody watching this white man kill people for like 4 seasons. But now that I'm on this, you know, I'm deep into the 3rd season. I'm like, you know what? I'm starting to get it. I like this show. I'm into it. Okay. So I'm going to finish watching it. That's what I'm doing this weekend outside of comedy. But yeah, I like it. I like the fact that he met that crazy white girl. She was killing people too. Not to tell the business. But I didn't know that was the plot twist there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they be wilded, and then they got a baby. Uh-huh. Like, this is getting
I didn't get through the last season.
I won't get through it.
I've had enough of that.
Okay, you had enough?
I had enough.
I was done, but then I got hooked. I'm binging now. So anyway, I'm not done with you, even though I said I was going to be. I'm not done with that.
It's funny. Mika probably, before she watched the show, she had a very good radar of what a healthy relationship was. And now she's like, sometimes you got to lock bitches in the basement. Yeah.
Glass
to
room.
Prove how much you love her.
Maybe that's what you gotta do. Listen, he be like, thanks to the meme say, he be texting back and all that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so that's me. But what about you, Sam?
Okay.
This is gonna go for both of us. I feel like I know what you're about to say.
I don't know what.
Oh, okay.
You don't know
so
me?
Don't mind. I don't. We're actually done. We're done here. This
well, I think I'm not done with. For a while, I was like, I'm a big reality TV girl.
Okay.
So for a while I was like, I'm not into like Vanderpump Rules, like this white mess.
Oh, okay.
And one thing about me, I'm not done with it. Love a white mess. I just like sent him an article and somebody's cheating with somebody else on the
really?
Show. It's a mess.
That show's still going on. Absolutely,
and I'm not done with it. It is so messy, so disgusting, and I love watching a white mess on TV.
Okay, love it.
Yeah.
White mess.
Yeah, a white mess.
Mika, do you watch Bravo at all? Like any of those shows?
I used to, but I stopped. I haven't watched Bravo in a very long time.
She put me on to like all the Real Housewives and
no.
stuff like that.
Absolutely.
I am not done with them. I will never be done
Wait,
with them.
We
be in Potomac.
Okay,
that's where we are now.
Okay, the bitch is messy. The
Potomac is crazy.
I gotta pick up Potomac.
Yeah, Potomac's
is
good.
Like
good.
Potomac is fire. Atlanta's fire.
Miami.
Miami's great.
Oh, that's... I haven't watched Miami. I know they're going to be messy as well.
Yeah, Miami's Latina good. Women, they're insane.
I know.
We watch New Jersey now.
Oh,
and
Jersey.
Then,
they
Salt Lake, but Salt Lake wasn't
Salt
that
Lake
big last
week.
Oh, who's in Salt Lake?
It's some white wild Mormon bitches.
Oh, okay.
Wildin'. But
I'm done with that white mess.
Jersey got the Italians, so you know
messy.
Messy. I'm here to say, I don't know who's watching this. All my guys... Pick up, watch Real Housewives. That shit to women. That's our anime. That's anime for them. It's Real Housewives.
Okay,
watch
no,
it.
Like, I
the stories is great.
Again. I
you
do
get
like
invested. The ladies love it. It's a great thing to watch. I love Bravo.
Oh my God, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Where can the guests find you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Make me laugh, Sam.
Make me laugh, Sam. And what about you, JC?
Thanks. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Peach Fuzz Poppy.
Awesome. Well, that has been another episode of We're Done Here. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
Bye.